Chapter 12. The alchemist is inside of there? I growled, as I looked off at the massive structure in the distance. Why the fuck does he need such a giant building for one guy?
It's not just for him,
our captive goblin explained.
That is where we keep all of the chemical weapons we produce, as well as where we test them out and create them.
My heart sank as the realization began to sink in. But if the goblins need this large of a warehouse, I trailed off.
Then they have way more weapons than we originally thought,
Mira noted. We need to get inside. Find the alchemist, take him out, and try to kill any fucking goblins who stand in our way.
This is horrific,
Pei sputtered with wide eyes.
The entire building is full of weapons like the one that wiped out our people. All just sitting there, with the intention of using them on our beloved Draco Rex.
Let's get in,
Alvi growled.
Kill them all.
Well,
our captive goblin chuckled awkwardly.
Here we are at our facility. I guess that's my cue to head off and...
You're not going anywhere. I shot back with a snarl.
But you said you were a man of your word.
The goblin's eyes narrowed atop his pointed nose.
Did you lie to me, you son of a bitch?
Our agreement was you take us to the alchemist, I reminded the gray-skinned bastard. I don't see the alchemist out here, do you?
Oh, come on!
The goblin protested.
I'm sure he's right inside.
Sounds like a bunch of dragon dung to me. He brings us to a building full of our enemies, tells us to go inside, and then wants to run away? Something doesn't seem right about this.
I agree, Tyrion, I confirmed with the fire breather. Something does seem fishy about this whole thing.
I'm not trying to fuck you over, Dragon King,
the goblin reassured us.
Unless you're trying to fuck me over, that is.
The agreement was to get us to the alchemist, and then you'll be free. Fulfill your end of the bargain and we'll fulfill ours.
Oh, this is such shit,
the goblin grumbled.
I brought you where you need to be.
Kaelan!
I whistled to the boy on the other side of the creature. Both of us took a step away from the goblin and let go, so he was now completely under his own weight. The gray-skinned fucker fell instantly to the ground and opened his mouth to let out a wail of pain. But I slapped my hand over his grimy lips to muffle the noise.
You fucker! I'll get you for this, you fucker!
We can let you go right now, I warned, before I gestured to our new resident, Slaughtertooth. But I can't promise our new crewmate here won't just revert back to his primal ways and chase you down.
That's right!
Valea added, and she patted her pet's massive head.
He may be friendly towards us, but the second Weyren senses you might be a threat, well... I can't control him in that case.
I guess it all boils down to if you think you can outrun a Slaughtertooth on your own, with a gimp leg. The goblin's eyes narrowed as he took a deep breath and sighed.
Fine, I'll help you get inside.
That's more like it, I smirked. Now, when I pull my hand away, you promise you're not going to scream, right? The goblin shook his head, so I slowly removed my palm from his lips. His crooked, sharp teeth stared back at me in a snarl as I pulled away. But I really didn't give a fuck. In this situation, we held all the cards, and we could make this guy do whatever the fuck we wanted. Kaelan and I took the goblin under his armpits once more, and lifted him back to his feet.
It's gonna be difficult to get inside,
our captive admitted.
You see all those guards out there? That is the only way in.
Could we just have Tyrion fly up and burn the old building down?
Lazan suggested, in true chaotic good fashion.
That's a negative.
Tyrion shook his head.
I'm still shooting sparks.
The silver dragon took a deep breath and then tried to let out a shot of fire, but all that emerged were a few yellow sparks.
Of course. I really wanted to see something set on fire today. It wouldn't be the best idea anyway.
Ashanti mused.
Yeah, we want to destroy all those weapons, but we also want to find out more about this alchemist first. We can't really do that if he's been burned alive.
Or even better, we could capture the alchemist and then make him our little informant, just like this guy here. Now we need to figure out a way inside.
We could always just take out the guards and walk through the front door.
Nadir spoke up.
I like that plan.
Alvi nodded. No way. I shook my head furiously. We don't know how many goblins are inside this place, and I don't want an entire army brought down on our heads.
How many goblins do you estimate are in this building?
Pei demanded from our prisoner.
Hundreds.
The goblin smiled.
I don't know what you think you're going to accomplish by going in there, Dragon King, but I can promise you it won't be pretty.
Hundreds, eh? I shrugged.
We've beaten way worse odds than that. Of course, this was only a half-truth. Sure, we defeated armies filled with hundreds of orcs before, but that was with our entire population, or with several traps laid out ahead of time. Now, with only a handful of people and a dragon whose fire breath had been neutered by a magic powder, we wouldn't stand a chance against that many goblins.
Well,
Aurora sighed.
It looks like we have only two courses of action, then. We can either try our luck and fight our way inside, or we can try to sneak in.
Or we could head back,
Kaelan suggested.
If we already know what's coming for us, maybe we could prepare against it when we have more people at our side.
No way, kid, I argued. We didn't come all this way just to turn around and leave.
What about destruction?
Tyrion suddenly interjected.
I might be next to useless right now.
Knock that off, Tyrion.
Mira sighed.
You're still plenty useful.
Well, yeah, but only in a few certain ways.
What are you thinking? I asked the silver-scaled dragon.
I may not be able to breathe fire.
The adolescent dragon continued.
But I can still fly. Maybe I could be a distraction.
That's not a bad idea.
Batari admitted.
If all those goblins see a dragon go flying by, they're gonna panic for sure.
Exactly. Hopefully they'll get so freaked out they'll go chasing after him, too.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
The goblin captive scoffed.
They won't let the guards leave their posting, so they'll probably just send a bunch of their regular soldiers after them. Then you'll have goblins on your back and a door that's still guarded.
Hold on a second.
Valeya gasped.
What about Weyren?
The slaughter tooth perked up at his name, and his tail wagged back and forth as he glanced at Valeya.
You want him to run down there and tear apart all the goblins with his venomous teeth?
Nadir grinned.
Oh, what a great idea!
No.
The blonde hedgehog woman chuckled.
You saw how excited all the goblins back there got about the slaughter tooth, right? They said these creatures are very rare on this island, so they might all jump at the chance to capture one.
Morella declared.
It would be a perfect distraction.
Exactly. We pull the guards away from the door, we slip inside, and then we find this alchemist.
And destroy his stash of weapons.
And that. I nodded.
Oh, that's quite an ambitious idea, Dragon King. No wonder you have given the orcs so much trouble. You're completely out of touch with reality.
You're just here to lead us to the alchemist, I reminded our captive. I don't remember asking you for advice, so unless you know some sort of secret way in, be quiet.
My lips are sealed,
our prisoner growled. Valeya walked over to Weyren, knelt down, and placed her hand on her new friend's shoulder.
Listen to me, Weyren,
the spindrel woman said in a calm, soothing tone.
We need you to go down there and get these goblins to chase you.
The Slaughtertooth's eyes were full of fear as he listened to Valeya talk, and he kept glancing down at the warehouse.
I'm not sure he's up to the task.
Shala sighed.
The poor thing's probably scared to death of goblins.
I know it's scary.
Valeya continued.
But this could be the difference between our survival and our deaths. Do you understand?
Weyren looked up at the blonde woman, closed his mouth, and nodded.
Good boy.
Valeya grinned and scratched under his chin until his rear leg thumped against the ground. I just hope this works. Now let's talk strategy here. I don't think we should all go inside. The more people we take along, the harder it's going to be to actually sneak around.
Also, I don't believe stealth would be an option with these two.
Mira noted as she pointed to Saren and Tyrion.
No offense.
None taken. I know I've got thunderous hunches.
At least Bungal is around now.
Saren teased the silver dragon.
His hunches make yours look like a cluckerbird's.
I nominate Alvi.
Pei suggested.
She is the stealthiest of our tribe. Thank you, Magnus Du.
Alvi said with a slight bow.
I'll come too.
Batari spoke up.
Me and Swire, that is.
Wow!
Swire teased.
You didn't even ask me.
Kaelan will come too, I put forward. I need somebody else to help lug around this guy.
Of course I will go,
Mira announced.
It would not be a stealth mission without me at your side.
Me too. You know, I can fly quieter than most people can walk.
It's settled then. Kaelan, Mira, Awara, Alvi, Batari, and I will all sneak in once the guards are distracted. Everybody else needs to just hang out here and keep watch. We should still be close enough together for our dragon bonds to work so we can keep each other in the loop about what's going on the whole time. Got it? The rest of my crew all nodded to confirm, but the goblin just chuckled to himself.
What about the guards up there in the towers?
Shala asked, as she pointed to all four corners. That's where I need my long-distance fighters to come in. Ashanti can take one out with an arrow while Lazan and Nadir scale the other two and slit their throats silently.
Ooh.
Lazan grinned devilishly.
I like this plan.
Silently, I reiterated. Saren and Tyrion can take out the last guard with that awesome water cannon flyby technique you used earlier.
What a convoluted plan,
the goblin scoffed.
This will never work.
And that's why I always kick your boss's asses, I informed the grayskinned bastard. Because the word never isn't even in my vocabulary. Now, saddle up, Buttercup, because we've got some hiking to do. Is everyone ready?
As ready as we'll ever be,
Pei admitted. Before we got into another life or death situation, a thought occurred to me. I wasn't going to let our goblin prisoner go until we found the alchemist, but it would be foolish to just let him go into the building unrestrained. The fucker would surely try to give us away or raise the alarm, and we couldn't let that happen. Does anyone have rope and fabric? I asked my friends. Surely somebody came on this journey prepared.
I've got some rope,
Theora declared as she reached into her quiver.
I always keep a bit on me, just in case I want to go hunting with my bow.
Smart girl. I took a bit of rope from the Nirilope woman, cut it into a length about 2 feet long, and then motioned for the goblin to hold out his hands.
You can't be serious.
Our hostage grumbled. And you can't be trusted, I shot back. Give me your hands. The goblin hesitantly held out his wrists, and I wrapped them up in a quick, tight knot. Meanwhile, Awara tore one of the bits off her cream-colored tunic and held it out.
This is the only fabric we have, Draco Rex,
the beautiful fairy girl offered.
Besides, I was getting hot out here anyway.
Thank you, I chuckled as I took the piece of cloth and turned the goblin around.
You're such an athlete.
Our hostage began, but his comment was turned into a muffled grumble when I tightened the knot on his gag. I double-tightened the gag before I tested the strength of the goblin's restraints, and then I patted him on the shoulder. Now we're ready to start. Nadir and Lazan? I asked the Kunag women. Go sneak around and get into position. Everybody else, hold until we get the signal. The two raccoon women scurried off into the forest, and we all waited patiently as they moved around to the other side of the warehouse. A few minutes passed, and then I heard Nadir's voice in my head.
We're in position,
the Kunag leader declared. Then we're good to go, I announced. Let's move out.
All right, Weyren,
Valea sighed.
Do your thing, and please be careful.
The Slaughtertooth gave his new friend one final look before he strode off into the clearing. Weyren waited until he was about 1,000 feet away from the guards before he let out a loud, trilling chirp, which instantly caught their attention.
Is that a...
one of the guards gasped.
It is,
another one declared.
Holy shit, the boss is gonna promote me for sure if I catch that thing.
Not if I catch it first,
yet another goblin guard argued. Mass chaos broke out as Weyren took a hard left, and all of the guards bolted after him. It only took a couple of seconds for all the guards to run off into the woods, which left the entrance completely empty. Our goblin captive just groaned with annoyance.
That's our cue,
I announced to my friends, both verbally and telepathically.
Take him out!
I saw two figures climb up onto the far towers of the building, spring over the edge, and then quickly stab their axes into the goblins inside. At the same time, Ashanti and Saren let loose their projectile attacks, and Tyrion swooped up into the sky. Ashanti's arrow stabbed into the throat of the first archer, and he fell backward in his tower. Meanwhile, Saren's blast of seawater slammed into the second guard's face and sent him out over the edge. He flailed his arms as he choked on water and plummeted toward the thatched roof of the warehouse, but Tyrion caught him before he could make a single sound. We watched with smug satisfaction as the silver dragon tossed the goblin up into the air, reared back his head, and gobbled him up in a single gulp. Tyrion gagged.
These guys taste as bad as they look.
It's all clear! Let's go!
Kaelan and I carried the goblin as Awara, Mira, Batari, Swaer, and Alvi all followed close behind. We could hear the sounds of the guards off in the forest to our left, though it sounded like they were getting further and further away by the second. My eyes darted to and fro across the landscape as I scanned for any signs of enemies, but nobody seemed to be around. It took what felt like an eternity to get across the open field, but soon we came to the door of the warehouse. We slipped inside quickly, and were instantly greeted with a strange, sweet scent that lingered in the air. It smelled faintly of gunpowder, though it had a slightly fruity aroma, like an apple or a grapefruit. The interior of the building was fairly basic, as it was mainly a large open space with dozens of boxes, vials, and crates piled up around to the ceiling. The floor was muddy and covered with straw to create a disgusting pigsty-esque feeling, and tiny little goblins scurried all around in a rush. We quickly ducked behind one of the piles of boxes as we tried to figure out our next move. I turned to our hostage, pulled his gag down, and then placed a finger against my lips to warn him to stay quiet. "Where would the alchemist be?" I demanded. "What the hell does he even look like?"
"He's very easy to spot,"
our captive explained.
"He's the only goblin I know of who wears a green hooded cloak instead of a tunic like this."
I peered out from behind our cover as I tried to scope out the scene. There were dozens of tables around the warehouse, many of which had goblins who were funneling powder into vials or stuffing strangely shaped objects into boxes. This was like the fucking Amazon of chemical warfare. "I'm not seeing our guy," I admitted as I scanned the crowd. "Are you sure he's in here?"
"Maybe you're lying,"
Alvi growled as she stared down the goblin.
"Maybe this is a trap."
"I wouldn't put it past him," Kalon growled.
"Don't be ridiculous,"
the hostage gulped.
"He's gotta be in here. The alchemist laboratory is all the way in the back of the building, so that's probably where you'll find him."
I placed the fabric back into the goblin's mouth before I turned to examine the warehouse once again. Sure enough, all the way on the other side of the building stood a wall built differently from the rest of the warehouse. Instead of simply being made out of logs, this particular structure was built up out of the mud using small, flat planks put in a lattice pattern. At the very center of the wall was an opening just the right size for a goblin body, and the entrance was surrounded by signage written in a language I wasn't familiar with.
"How in Kaku's name are we going to get all the way back there?"
Owara hissed.
"There's pretty much nothing between us and that door but lots of open space and lots of goblins."
"It looks like we only have two options. We can either try and sneak under the tables and around the random piles of stacked crates, or we can try to fight our way through them."
"Fight through them?"
Mira gasped.
"I love your ambition, Ben, but I'm not even sure we could pull that off. Maybe if we had all our dragons..."
Batari sighed.
"But even then, I'm not sure it would be enough."
"Then we have to try and sneak past. We get in there, take out the alchemist, and then we're home free."
"What about all these weapons?"
Owara questioned, as she motioned to the crates.
"Even if we eliminate the alchemist, they've already got enough weapons to take out our people four times over."
"We'll deal with that once the alchemist is dead," I reassured her. "Trust me, we're not just going to leave the stockhouse of enemy weapons lying around. Now, do you see that pile of boxes over there? On my signal, as soon as the coast is clear, we move to that. Got it?"
"Got it,"
Mira confirmed, and the rest of my crew nodded in agreement. I held my breath as I looked back and forth for signs of any goblins. There were a few of the gray-skinned fuckers about 20 feet in front of the next pile. But their backs were turned, and the goblins who sat around the tables packing and producing the weapons were all too focused on their work to notice us. Now was our chance.
3, 2, 1,
I hissed. My crew all bounded out of our cover, made a mad dash to the next pile of weapon crates, and then ducked behind it in a flash.
"You hear something?"
one of the goblins' voices growled, and my blood ran cold.
"We're in a chemical mill," the second one scoffed. "There's a lot of fucking noises going on."
My hand drifted down to the hilt of my sword as I prepared for the worst.
"They heard us,"
Kalon hissed, but I quickly silenced him with a finger to my lips.
I don't know,"
the first goblin admitted.
"It sounded like there was a breeze behind us or something."
"Oh,"
the second goblin mocked.
"Look at you, scared of the frickin' wind."
"It wasn't the wind,"
the other guy snarled.
"It was more like a quick breeze, like if something was running around or something."
The second goblin laughed.
"I think you're getting a paranoid high from being around all these chemicals. Nobody's getting into this building, not with all our elite guards outside, anyway."
"Eh, I guess you're right,"
the paranoid goblin sighed.
"I'm just a little nervous, you know? That party that went out last night still hasn't come back. What if they all got eaten, or had their throats slit? Or worse?"
I'm telling you, the other goblin snickered. You're worrying too much. Nobody's getting through those guards.
Somebody already did!
Our captive suddenly blurted out as he spat the tattered gag from his mouth, and then he tried to run out into the sightline.
Help me, you fools! The Draco Rex is here! Oh, motherfucker.
Somehow this desperate son of a bitch had chewed through his fucking gag. Without even thinking about it, I drew my sword, lashed out at the dickless bastard, and caught him right in the side of the neck. My sea glass blade passed through his flesh and muscle like it was made of paper, and his head flew up into the air with a spray of blood. Swaer's eyes went wide, and he jumped off Batari's arm and slithered toward the skyward head. The little furry dragon bit into its flesh, caught it in midair, and then shuddered as he returned to the ground. At the same time, Alvi and Mira lurched forward and grabbed the goblin's body before it could hit the ground and give us away. Blood gushed all over their clothes as they yanked the corpse backward, and then they propped it up against the pile of boxes.
Oh, damn it! I knew that slimy fucker was going to try something.
What about that?
The paranoid goblin gasped.
It sounded like someone calling for help.
I heard it.
The second goblin's voice lowered to a whisper, but my superhuman hearing could still pick up his noise.
What the fuck is going on?
Oh, yeah.
The first goblin mocked.
It's just the wind.
Oh, shut up!
The second gray bastard hissed. All went silent, and I had a sinking feeling they were headed our way. I looked over at the rest of my crewmates, who already had their weapons drawn and at the ready. Mira, Batari? I asked my two crewmates via the dragon bond. Do you each want to take a side, just in case we have some unexpected company?
Way ahead of you, Ben!
Batari noted, as she held her spear sword pointed outward against her chest. Mira nodded, drew her sea glass dagger from its sheath, and then took a deep breath. The seconds felt like hours as we all stood there waiting for those two suspicious goblins to come over and attempt to blow our cover. Soon we heard the sound of squelching feet against the muddy ground, and I knew they were close. The little gray fuckers must have been trying to flank us, because one of them appeared on each side of the pile. Their eyes widened when they saw us, and their mouths opened as they lashed out with their iron daggers. They didn't stand a chance. Batari simply knocked away the goblin's arm with her own, and then headbutted him in the face. Her double horns pierced the goblin's flesh, and he opened his mouth to scream as he stumbled backward, while blood poured from his fresh wounds. Before he could even make a sound, Batari jabbed her spear sword straight into his throat and completely punctured his vocal cords. At the same time, Mira sidestepped her opponent's attack, grabbed onto his arm with her left hand, and then yanked the goblin into her. She plunged her dagger into his heart in a flash, and his eyes rolled back in his head seconds before his entire body went limp. Both of the women pulled the goblins' bodies behind our cover, and then rested them up against the crates, right next to the guy we'd just decapitated.
That was close,
Kaelon gasped.
We need to hide the bodies,
Alvi noted.
Now.
Awara noted as she looked around.
Where, exactly? They're not going to fit inside these crates. Have the dragon eat them.
The brunette spindrel woman suggested as she pointed to Swaer.
Excuse me?
Swaer gasped, and the little dragon quickly did a double take.
I'm not eating those things. Tyrion says they taste terrible, and even just one of them is double the size of my body.
Just a suggestion.
Alvi huffed.
Could we chop them up first?
Mira suggested.
They won't fit into the crates like this, but what if we made them fit?
I like the way you think.
Alvi grinned at the dragonkin woman. Not a bad idea, but that would take a whole lot of time. Time we definitely do not have right now.
How is everything going in there, Ben?
Nadir's voice suddenly interrupted my thoughts.
Please don't tell me there's some sort of epic battle going on right now that I'm missing.
That fucker tried to rat us out, I explained to the Kunag woman via dragon bond. We had to kill him and two of his friends, but they're still the only ones who know we're here right now.
That's too bad. I was hoping for much more bloodshed.
You might still get your wish. We're nowhere near out of this yet. We're looking for a place to hide the bodies.
Did you try cutting them up?
The raccoon woman suggested.
That is what I said.
Mira's voice joined the conversation. Okay, fine, I conceded. We can hack apart their corpses and then stuff them in the crates, but we need to make it quick. If the alchemist really is here, I don't want him to slip away.
My crew spent the next few minutes cautiously removing the limbs from each of the slain goblins. And even though we were standing in the middle of the goblins' warehouse, all of the little gray fuckers were apparently too oblivious to notice their two friends had gone missing. Either that, or they really just didn't give a fuck. The process was tedious and very, very messy. Gallons of blood poured out of the severed limbs and down onto the ground in large pools. But thankfully, in this case, the muddy floor of straw was actually a plus. The dark crimson seemed to blend in with the brown goopy ground after a while, and any bits of straw that had been stained we simply covered with a scoop of mud. Once we had the bodies all sliced and diced, I slowly opened up the nearest crate and then held it while Mira and Alvi scooped the severed limbs and torsos inside. I repeated the action with two more of the crates until there was nothing left to give us away but a few crimson blood splatters on the hay. Then we quickly swept the bloody remnants into the mud before we took a deep breath and prepared to move on. I hate to say this, I grumbled as I peeked out from behind our cover. But we're probably going to have to go under the tables. Though the little gray goblins all sat at the work tables, there was enough space underneath to drive a truck through. It was about 10 feet to the nearest table, and the seats closest to our position were currently unoccupied. The next nearest pile of crates was only about 50 feet away, but there was nothing but open terrain between here and there.
How would that even work?
Awara shook her head.
Won't they see us if we crawl under the tables?
Maybe. But they're definitely going to see us if we just try and make a break for that next stack of crates. At least if we dive under the table, the goblins' bodies might block us from the view of the rest of the horde.
And if they don't?
Awara suggested.
We'll quite literally be trapped. There will be nowhere to go, and our enemies could easily overwhelm us before we could even get out from underneath the furniture.
What a way to go. Killed beneath a table.
It's a tough choice, but I know what I'm voting for.
I'll do whatever you do, my king.
The jade-haired dragonkin warrior proclaimed.
Even if I do have some reservations.
The table it is, then.
Alvi nodded, and then she placed her staff on her back. Is everybody okay with that? I questioned in a whisper.
That's not the word I'd use, but it sounds like that's our best option.
All right, then. I said and sheathed my sword. Follow my lead. I glanced over at the nearest table, looked around, and then took a deep breath. This was it. If we messed this up, we could have the entire horde of goblins coming down on our asses. I silently counted myself down from 3 as my heart hammered away in my chest, and then I made my move. I took about 3 steps before I dove under the table, and my knees and hands slid through the slimy straw-covered mud on the ground. The filthy goo was cold and wet against my flesh, but I didn't give a shit. Somehow I had made it without being spotted. Now it was time for the rest of my crew to join me. My heart seemed to halt as I crawled backward and then watched each of my friends copy my actions. Batari and Swa'er went first, followed up immediately by Mira and then Awara. Alvi and Kaelan were the last to make the dive, and soon all 7 of us were safely underneath the massive wooden table. Now we just had to hope these bulky bench seats and the goblin bodies would be enough to keep us out of sight.
Let's go,
I mouthed to my friends, and then I turned around. My crew and I crawled through the mud and straw of the goblin warehouse for several feet, before we came across pairs of, well, actual feet. I cringed as we passed by the decrepit corn and blistered covered flesh of the goblins, and I tried to breathe as sparingly as I possibly could. The little gray bastards were bantering, joking, and complaining about their work just like a human in retail or fast food would, which led me to believe they had no clue we were there. We continued to crawl across the dirty ground through the sea of sitting goblins until we eventually came to the other side of the table. The door of the alchemist's lab was now only a few paces away, but a new problem had arisen. There was no cover whatsoever between the end of the table and the door. No matter what we did, no matter how stealthily we could be, the goblins would see us the second we moved out from our current position.
Oh, fucking hell,
I growled telepathically. There's no way to get to the door without being seen.
Could we make a distraction of some sort that seemed to work outside?
Not a terrible idea, but how the hell are we going to do anything from underneath this table? Most of our friends outside are already preoccupied with the guards and standing watch, so I don't want to take them away from their positions.
What about that thing you've been practicing, Swire?
Batari asked her bondmate.
I don't know if I'm ready to use that yet. There's a reason I've only been practicing it so far.
It would provide a perfect distraction without giving us or our friends away.
The Queen Mother implored her dragon.
You must try.
I don't know.
Soa Air trailed off.
I believe in you, my friend. It doesn't need to be anything too powerful, just something strong enough to cause a distraction for the goblins.
What are you talking about? I asked Batari and Soa Air telepathically. Did Soa Air learn some new ability you haven't told us about yet?
He's been practicing how to make wind funnels. We didn't want to tell you until he had mastered the technique, but I believe our current circumstances override that desire.
I thought back to the first wind dragon we'd encountered on the high seas. It was able to summon up literal water spouts and tornadoes that nearly tore the Dragon Queen in half, and I'd always wondered if Swa'er would ever get to that level of power. Apparently he was already trying. Anything would work, I explained to the little guy. Even if it's just a miniature funnel or gust, it would at least get their eyes off of us for the time being.
I don't know how much control I have. I do not wish to accidentally harm us or our friends outside.
I trust you, Swa'er, I reassured the Wind Dragon. I literally trust you with my life.
As do I,
Mira noted with a warm smile.
Okay.
Soa Air took a deep breath and held it for a solid 30 seconds.
I will try to create a wind funnel.
I looked back to the rest of my crew, who were surely confused by the silence that hung around us. They couldn't speak telepathically like Mira, Batari, and I could, so they had no idea what was about to happen. All I could do was shoot Awara, Kaelan, and Alvi a firm stare, nod, and hope they understood that they needed to follow us. Meanwhile, Swa'er turned his furry red body toward the back of the building, the direction from which we had just come. But instead of sucking in air and charging up his attack like he normally did, the Wind Dragon simply went rigid in place. The fur on his body stood up as he arched his back like an angry cat, and there was a sudden silence in the air around us.
You can do it, my friend.
Batari encouraged her bondmate.
Oh, come on, Swa'er.
The Wind Dragon tried to pump himself up.
You got this.
Sure enough, we soon heard the sound of swirling winds from far off in the distance. They started off as a low rumble, no louder than a strong breeze on a fall day. However, the noise quickly began to sound like there was a freight train approaching, and the chattering goblins went silent.
What the fuck is that? You hear that noise?
It's probably just the wind. It storms all the damn time on this island.
Suddenly, the swirling winds grew even more intense, followed by the sound of splintering wood and snapping logs as the wind funnel smashed into the side of the warehouse.
What the fuck?
The goblins screamed.
Are we under attack?
Another one gasped, and then they hopped up from the table. Sure enough, the goblins began to dash over to the scene of the chaos one by one.
Go!
I hissed to my friends, the second the coast appeared to be clear. I crawled out from under the table, sprang to my feet, and rushed to the door of the alchemist's lab. I flung it open as quickly as I could, ushered my crewmates inside, and then slammed it shut as I turned around and drew my sword. I didn't know what to expect in this place, but I knew the alchemist wasn't going to go quietly. However, as I looked around the lab, I quickly realized it was empty. There were plenty of wooden tables covered with vials, powders and crates, as well as handwritten notes up on the walls of the room, but no signs of the alchemist.
Oh, fucker of models!
Mira growled.
There's nobody here!
I wouldn't quite say that.
Awara gasped and covered her mouth with her hand.
Look over there.
My eyes followed her line of sight, and my jaw fell agape when I saw what she was referring to. There, against the back wall of the lab, were several goblins. They were all tied up in various poses, some of them in chairs and other ones splayed out upon the wall as if they were on a stretcher. Some of them were obviously dead, and the ones who were still alive looked like they'd seen better days.
What is this place?
A horrified Kaelan covered his mouth.
Holy fuck,
I gagged as my stomach turned in on itself.
What kind of a sick fuck is this guy?
The seven of us hurried over to the tied-up goblins so we could inspect the damage even more. One of the corpses was covered from head to toe in third-degree burns, while the body beside him still had a tunic sopping wet from the foam that dripped from his mouth. As we inspected the bodies, one of the dead goblins lifted up his head and let out a gurgled gasp.
Kill me. Please.
He begged.
Oh, Tamboris tusks!
Matari gasped and jumped back about 6 feet. The sudden noise startled me as well, though I simply drew my dagger in response. This particular goblin looked like a mutant. His eyes were bloodshot and yellow, and his right leg had swollen up to double the size of his left. He seemed to struggle to breathe as he stared us down, and I noticed the right side of his jaw was completely slack. I can grant you your wish, but you gotta help me first. Where is the alchemist?
Long gone. He left for the Orc Island hours ago.
Shit. We just missed him. What the hell is this place? What was he doing here?
We were experiments,
the gray-skinned creature explained.
He was testing out all his concoctions on us.
Gods,
Mira muttered.
He was testing on his own people.
We didn't make our quota. This was our punishment.
What kind of things did he make? Are they all here in this warehouse?
Look around you, Dragon King.
The goblin groaned.
The red vials incinerated my friends, while the blue powder was a sort of potion of some kind. Then there was the glowing green liquid which he forced me to drink and turned me into this whatever I am.
But is this the entire stockpile? I asked again.
The alchemist took many crates when he left,
the mutant goblin explained.
The rest is here. Now, please, I can't bear this agony anymore.
I pursed my lips as I mulled it over. On the one hand, this guy was our enemy. He would have surely been right along with his friends, torturing the poor Slaughtertooth or trying to kill me and my friends if he wasn't being tortured. At the same time, this dude looked rough. His breath was labored, and he groaned in pain with each inhalation of air he took. He may have been a goblin, but I wasn't a fucking monster. I gave the gray-skinned creature a somber nod, and then I slashed my dagger across his throat. A wave of relief seemed to wash over the goblin's features as the blood poured from his neck wound, and soon he closed his eyes and went limp.
I know that look,
Mira observed, as I turned around and sheathed my blade.
You're thinking up a plan right now. Talk to us, Ben?
We have to destroy this building. They have enough of these weapons here to completely take out our whole island, and any other island they'll try to invade in the future. We have to stop them.
Destroy the building?
Kaelon spoke up.
We're in the building.
Obviously we'll get out of here before there's an issue.
What do you suggest?
Owara interjected.
Tyrion's fire breath is still not functioning.
I pointed with my thumb at the deformed goblin. The vials with red powder are incendiary.
I do not know what that means.
The orange-haired Morpho shook her head. It means they make fire, most likely when they impact their target.
And there are surely many of these vials in those crates out there.
Mira smiled as a realization kicked in. Exactly. We set this building on fire and those things will go up like a frickin' barrel of gunpowder.
What about us?
Matari pondered aloud.
We can't fight through all those goblins to escape.
We won't have to. Swaer, do you think you have enough strength left in your body to blow this back wall down?
I can blow the wall over in my sleep, Ben.
The furry wind dragon chuckled. All right, help me gather up as many red vials as we can find in this room, and then we'll toss them out into the main area on my signal. My crew and I spent the next 5 minutes scouring the alchemist's lab. By the time we were all done, we had accumulated 4 vials of the deadly red powder. But judging from the burns on the one goblin's corpse, it was going to be more than enough to burn this place to the ground.
What about the goblins?
Alvi reminded us.
They'll flee.
That's an easy fix. Tyrion, Nadir, Saren, how would you guys like to get in on this action?
I thought you'd never ask,
Nadir declared in a giddy tone.
What do you need us to do?
We're gonna light this whole building on fire. When that happens, don't let anybody else come out of this building. I know there are a lot of them, but they're all gonna try and get out through the main entrance. It's the perfect choke point.
Oh, I'm going to smash in so many skulls.
That's a negative. Try to keep it to long-ranged attacks only, because we don't want to be anywhere near this building when it's completely consumed by the fire. If there are any stragglers who get through the choke point and come near you, take them out. Otherwise, just be ready to run.
Sounds like a plan. Those goblins aren't going anywhere.
All right, guys, I ordered as I weighed the vials in my hand. The second I open this door and throw these things, Swaer needs to blow down the wall. If the structural support is... Wait! I've got a better idea.
I like where this is going.
Alvi grinned. We set this place on fire, and then Swaer goes all big bad wolf. I changed the play midstream. This is a house of fucking sticks, after all.
I'm not eating them!
Swaer shook his head. You need to blow this building down. Once we're out and it's on fire, you can raise this whole thing with your wind breath. Hopefully that'll take care of the goblin bastards inside. Do you think you can do that?
It's blowing down a building made of logs. Of course I can.
Get ready. I took a deep breath and walked to the door. 3, 2, 1, now! I kicked open the door, stepped through, and hurled the vials as hard as I could. At the same time, I heard a loud bang from behind me, as the logs that made up the back wall were splintered by a sudden gust of wind.
Holy shit!
One of the goblins screamed.
Run!
I turned and booked it out of the hole in the wall right as I heard the glass shatter. Almost instantly after, there was the sound of a roaring flame, and I felt a massive blast of heat at my back. I dashed outside with my crew, turned around, and pointed at the building. Take it down, Swaer! I commanded the little red wind dragon. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see my friends off to the right of the structure, and Ashanti shot arrow after arrow in the direction of the building, while Saren blasted a steady stream of water. Swaer leapt off Batari's shoulder, slithered up into the sky, and inhaled deeply as he charged his wind breath. The little guy then threw his head forward as he opened his mouth, and the air around us roared like a hurricane as he unleashed a massive blast of wind. The part of the warehouse closest to us was already weakened, so it came down like a house of cards. As soon as that part had fallen, the rest of the building followed suit. The logs splintered and fell out of place as they were rocked by Swaer's mighty winds. And soon the roof of the building collapsed in on itself. Several goblins must have gotten through the choke point, though, because I saw about 50 or so tiny gray bodies flee into the forest. Too bad that's where Weyren and Tyrion were waiting for them. I heard the screams of several goblin bastards as they were torn limb from limb by the two beasts, and the rest of my crew quickly scurried off after them. Meanwhile, the fire overtook the remnants of the structure, and the entire thing lit up like a frickin' candle. A candle made out of black powder. That would be our cue, I called out to my friends. Let's get the fuck out of here now! The seven of us ran off to the right, into the tree line of the maroon forest, and then we cut over so we were running parallel to the burning building. The flames grew higher and higher as we tried to catch up with the rest of our crew, and I knew it was only a matter of time before... A massive explosion erupted from inside the bowels of the burning building, and we were all knocked flat on our asses by the shockwave. Bits of burning debris flew up into the sky and then fluttered down like some sort of deadly rain, straight into the maroon forest around us. My ears throbbed with pain as they rang louder than a fucking telephone in an empty room, and I covered them with my hands to try and quell the pain.
We got them, Ben,
Nadir declared telepathically.
They tried to escape, but we ran down each and every one of the goblins and put an end to their sorry existences.
Great, I said, even though I couldn't hear my own voice. That's great, Nadir. I looked around at my friends and gave them a weak thumbs up to indicate we had been successful. Then I laid back onto the muddy ground and stared up at the sky as bits of ash rained down upon us. Even though my eardrums felt like they'd been blown out and my body was bruised and sore, we did it. We may not have found the alchemist, but the goblin threat was suppressed. Mission fucking accomplished. Now we can all go home.